What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Morning, Andrea. Welcome to the studio. Nice to have you back in.
Hi. Thanks. Nice to be back.
It's been a little while because we haven't seen you throughout the school holidays, of course. So it's it's good to have you back in and continue our conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, today we're going to be talking about, you've got a lot to share today, haven't you? You were just sharing with me off air. You've got so much. We're going to try and cram it in the time that we've got. Going to be chatting about self-care for mums.
Yes.
Please explain. Tell us more.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking about this, actually. It's a huge topic, and like you were saying, we've got to try and condense it down. But I think self-care has become something that perhaps it wasn't initially sort of designed to be. But we do need to take into consideration where we're at in our modern lifestyles. So I guess we're going to cover that today. And so, you know, it has become quite commercialized and trendy, I think. We hear about going to the day spa, having the pedicure, the chocolate, the wine, fancy holidays, girls' trips away.
Oh, yes.
It's become quite big.
Yeah.
And I know I feel like we're always saying horrible things about Instagram. I actually love Instagram, but it is very much the Instagrammable moment, isn't it? Like, you know, I'm at the day spa or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with those things, obviously. Like, it's lovely to go and do that. But if we're saying that that's the only way that we can get self-care and that's the only way that we can feel better or escape from our lives, I think we've got a bit of a problem. Mm. If we're saying that's the only way you can look after yourself, we really do have a problem.
You mentioned just at the start there, self-care, the definition of self-care now looks different to what it was maybe wind the clock back a couple of generations ago. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so the term self-care actually came from nursing. So as you know, like, I'm a nurse, and so it is it's still heavily part of nursing, where we do an assessment of like a patient's activities of daily living. We look at, you know, how they manage their showers, how they manage their mobility, their eating, can they manage their own medications when they get discharged from hospital. And so that's where self-care came from, was can the patient care for themselves after discharge. So that's the origins of it. And obviously, like, looking at the basics now, I think there is a little bit of people turning their nose up at that and saying, well, you know, getting a shower, that's not self-care. Well, actually, it is self-care. It is very important. And you know, looking after your home and all those things are important parts of self-care. But having said that, we do need to look at our lifestyles and maybe some other practical ways that we can care for ourselves. That's beyond just those quick fixes that I was talking about earlier.
Interesting. It becomes a bit of a momentum thing with, if you start comparing, right? If you start looking at what others are doing and how they determine self-care and what they're up to, and then it becomes quite competitive.
Yeah, exactly. And those things are expensive. Mm. And so it's almost a little bit of a privilege thing as well, to sort of think that if only the privileged people can get self-care because those things are self-care, then again, I think, you know, that's quite a problem.
We'll come back and chat some more. Andrea, my guest in the studio this morning is Andrea, regular guest midwife and child health nurse. And we are talking about self-care for mums today. Back after this one from Huey Lewis and the news. It's hip to be square. Huey Lewis and the news there. Hip to be square. You're on 98.5. Good morning. Andrea, midwife, child health nurse, is with me. We've been chatting about self-care for mums. It looks pretty different now in this day and age, this year, compared to, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. Andrea, do you reckon it's changed a lot?
Oh, I think so, definitely. Yep. Yeah, the rise of social media as well. I guess people get a chance to see what others are up to, but also the marketing. You know, we're bombarded with ads as well. So we do see all of these different ideas out there that maybe capture our attention.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, you know, we were talking about self-care used to be about activities of daily living and that kind of thing. But really, we are experiencing a busier life now, I think. We're really busy. We're stressed. Our schedules are full. And for definitely parents with school-age children, I'm sure they've got lots of activities on. But then mums at home with little ones, they can even have a lot of activities for their babies or just generally feeling quite busy. So we do need to look at what else we can do practically, I think, to make sure that we're feeling our best.
So when you say things practically, we're not talking about, as we mentioned earlier, about going off to the day spa and or going off for a weekend away. So these things are going to be more about things that we can do at home and obviously don't cost a lot, but are real, I guess, more self-care.
Yeah, definitely. And things that are real game changers, things that do move the needle in how you're feeling. So we know that when our body is stressed, we're in a flight or fight response. You may have heard about that. And
yes,
you've got the stress hormones and that kind of thing. And what reduces that and what brings our body state back to one of calm and caring for ourselves are really the things that aren't very glamorous. So things like, you know, eating well, eating regularly, drinking lots of water, getting a good amount of sleep and limiting coffee and alcohol and those kind of things are really what's going to shift the needle for you. And I can use a personal example for myself.
Okay.
I'm very sensitive to caffeine. If I have more than one shot of coffee a day, I've got the jitters. I'm up. If I have two shots, I'm up to 11 or 12 at night. If I have more than that, I cannot sleep till, I wouldn't sleep before 4 a.m.
So hang on. So even if you had one this morning, if you had a coffee this morning, you'd feel that later, hours later.
Yeah, one coffee is me for the day. I'll be able to sleep okay tonight, but if I push to two, I wouldn't get to bed before 12.
You better get onto the tea, hey? What do you reckon, Andrea? Green tea for you?
So I love coffee, and I know as a mum, when you're not having a lot of sleep, if you've got a little one, I got into a pattern of having two coffees a day because I loved coffee, and also it just kind of felt good to get me through, but it was setting me up for the worst pattern. You know, I wouldn't be in bed till midnight. Then maybe my little one would wake once in the night and then they'd be up, the kids be up for the day at 6, 6:30, and then the cycle would start again. I'd hit the coffee
back on the
again
coffee
in the morning to get me through. And it was a really unhealthy pattern. And it took me a lot of self-discipline to say, no, I love coffee. I love the taste, but I have to cut back. I have to go back to one because I know for me, any more than that, and it gets my body in that stress state and it's just not good for me.
Was that really noticeable? How long did that take? Like when you realise I've just got to make a change here?
Oh, I know that I've got to make a change after a few days and I'm feeling really tired and I know my body's tired and I know my decision making's not great and my thought patterns, you know, all those things when you become tired. But, you know, having the self-discipline, it took me a while to go, no, I have to do it.
Now, I'm imagining you didn't post that on Instagram. Hello, I'm down to one coffee and feeling fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's not really that Instagrammable, that's for sure. But I guess my point is that it's shifted the needle for me big time, more so than, say, a trip like going and getting a massage. I also love massages. I mean, who doesn't? But if I went and got a massage, the whole time I'm there, I'm thinking, okay, whoever is looking after my kids, are they okay? Did my toddler get down for the nap? Is the house getting like trashed?
Yeah.
And then I get home, I've had the maybe an okay massage, paid a fair bit of money for it, and I get home, the house is a bit of a mess, toddler hasn't really slept, is a bit cranky, and all of these things that I've got to deal with, and it's not really done anything for me, for my own self-care.
So those self-care things can be so short-term.
Yeah, short-term.
We'll take a break, we'll come back and chat some more. You've got some more to share with some practical things, I'm sure.
Yep.
Plenty there. We're back after this from Lauren Daigle, Hold On To Me. Song, what a voice. Lauren Daigle, Hold On To Me. You're on 98.5. Andrea is with me, child health nurse, and you've got some other qualifications as well, haven't you? Child health nurse and midwife as well, of course.
Yeah.
We've been talking about self-care for mums. For you, the practical coffee, just so simple.
Yeah.
You cut down and you're feeling a lot better.
Yeah, that's
Sleep
it.
Better, into bed earlier.
That's it.
You're probably a better mum. What do you reckon?
Probably.
What are some of the other things, Andrea?
Yeah, so I think also thinking about our environment. So who are we spending time with? Are we spending a lot of time with people who constantly criticise our parenting choices? Because that's a big one. Sometimes mothers groups, unfortunately, can be a little bit toxic. Or are we spending a lot of time online, you know, looking at things that are really draining us and bringing us down? Are we spending time with someone who gossips a lot and that really drains our energy and also gives us a bit of a negative perspective on life? So I think it's important that we do choose carefully who we spend our time with. And if it's someone that we have to spend time with, maybe a family member, and we have some obligations there, can we set up some healthy boundaries in that relationship so that we make sure that we are caring for ourselves and our energy and that kind of thing? And yes, sorry, I'll go on.
Yeah, keep going.
And also looking at our environment in terms of prioritising. So if we are really heavily committed to lots of different things and life just feels really overwhelming and like we don't have a choice, that can be hard, especially if we feel, if we feel that we don't have a choice and things are out of our control, that can really zap our energy. So I think we need to look at what we can control, what's within our control, and make some changes there where we can.
So good, Andrea. What we'll do, we'll come back and we shall wrap things up. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Back after this. Whitney Houston, I'm Every Woman. You're on 98.5. Good morning. Andrea, midwife and child health nurse, is with me. We have been chatting about self-care for mums. It looks pretty different to what it does maybe a couple of generations ago, Andrea.
Yeah, I think it does. I just wanted to talk to for the final point, I guess, was just that really doing the inner work, like when we commit to actions that really improve ourselves or our lives, that's true self-care. You know, it's on a deeper level. It's not superficial. Might be doing a parenting course. It might be creating routines for when you're having a hard day. What do I know that, you know, builds up my energy? What makes me feel good? Can I set myself up for a routine when I'm having a hard day to do those things? And like I said before, coming back to what makes our body physiologically go well, perform well, those simple things, and also looking at our environment and what, you know, what do we need to consider in terms of our relationships and our commitments and our time that really improves our self-care.
Now, you've been sharing a little bit earlier about coffee. I mean, just thinking about that to finish off today, how important, I mean, we often talk about it, how important it is to eat right and drink plenty of water, and as you've saying about the environment and maybe who you're hanging out with. They're massive things that would make massive changes. If you could change that, it would make a huge difference, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they're not like hard ideas. They're very simple ideas, but it's hard to put into practice because it takes a lot of self-discipline.
How would you start? For those listening, I hear what you're saying. What steps do I take today? Is it, you know, what would you say to someone today?
I'd say pick one thing and look at that and maybe try it for a week. And then when it starts to feel like it's a habit, maybe then go to the next thing. Don't try to do too much at once. It just gets overwhelming. If you're going to start and try and reduce your coffee, do that first, tackle that one, and then maybe move on to your water or something like that.
Start small.
Yeah.
So if you're having four coffees a day, maybe try having three.
That's it.
And which would be fairly common for a lot of people. I mean, you couldn't hit, so two was way too much for you. So now you're back to one. But for some people, it might be four, it might be five.
Yeah.
And just slowly, slowly, slowly cut back.
Yeah,
because making the changes overnight could do some more harm than good, right?
Well, potentially, yep.
Yeah. Andrea, it's been great chatting with you. We appreciate you coming in, and we'll catch up in a couple of weeks.
Great, thanks.
My guest in the studio this morning has been midwife and child health nurse, Andrea. You are on at 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Stick around. After 11 o'clock today, I'm going to be chatting with our regular guest, Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing. It is Mental Health Week this week, and we're going to be chatting to Adrian about that after 11 o'clock. Meanwhile, here's Kobe James and Brand New.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.